5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, this is not first class.
Circus! Afro Circus! Afro Circus! Afro
Welcome to The Clown Car, a parenting podcast where a dad
and a mom
talk about what it's like being the ringleaders in our own circus.
We are not professionals. The only credentials we have are four kids. So do your research and find what works for you.
Hello, fellow ringleaders. I am one of your wonderful hosts, Barry Ricks, and with me I have my most wonderful co-host, Crystal Ricks. The better half.
Yes, I
the
am.
Better looking one, too. So
that's debatable.
That's right. Hello, everybody. We are back.
I like how you agree with that.
Well, I am pretty gorgeous.
Thanks.
So we had a hard time.
What?
This trying to figure out what to talk about this week.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we had a hard time this week.
No, just we had a... So we try to figure out, you know, we try to find an interesting article that we can at least share rather than just saying, you know, our 2 cents. At least we want to add a third cent in there. So we had a hard time finding something, but we found something that...
Like the size of our bank account.
That's right. We found something that we find interesting, but first, let's talk about our crazy circus.
It's time for the stories of the week!
So, this is Stories of the Week, where we talk about crazy things that happen during our week.
So, or good things.
Or good things or just silly things. You know, things to make you feel like you're a normal parent, because it doesn't just happen to you, folks. It happens to all of us.
Or things that make you go, hmm.
Things that made you go, hmm. Things that made you go, hmm.
It made me think of that.
Yep.
That's a horrible song, by the way.
Anyway, well, why don't you tell us about things that make you go, hmm.
Okay, this didn't make me go, hmm, this made me go, ah!
Wow, that should be the new song. That could be, like, the goat screaming, too. Things that made you go, ah!
Right. It was... No, so, my kids love taking baths, and so the two littles take a bath together, and that's, like, my, yes, I get a read time. So every day I'm like, hey, kids, do you want to take a bath today? Because they stay in there for like an hour. So I put them in the bathtub, grab my book, and I'm reading for like 10 minutes. And Lacey comes out and she goes, Mom, you should probably get in here.
Oh, no.
And usually that means, come look at this funny thing we did, you know, or come watch my trick. And so I go in there expecting something like...
Jackson pooped, didn't he?
Way to spoil it.
I didn't not know. Only, I was guessing.
Not only did he poop, but on the floor.
On the floor?
Is this mass pile of, like, not poop you can just pick up with the toilet paper, oh. But it's like.
Like soupy?
Yeah, soupy poop.
Soupy poop.
But they splash water out of the tub like crazy. So it's like soupy poop in a pile of water. So it's like seeping out.
E. coli! E. coli!
And then I get closer and there's floaties in the tub too. And I'm like, how did you do that?
Oh, and that's like, all like in their face and in their mouth and in their hair.
And then Jackson's like, poop.
Yeah, you think?
And they're just sitting there staring at it like the coolest thing ever. And I was like, come on!
Look, poop floats!
She was just about to kiss the guy in my book! Not really, but... So it was fun.
I bet.
I mean, I probably won't tell people what I do because most people will probably be like, bleach your children! But
I just got them out of the tub. Wash them off with soap and they're good.
Yeah, so cleaning that up wasn't that fun. And, But it's been a long time since someone's pooped in the tub. But we've never had a poop in and out of the tub.
Yeah, that's a first.
We have a very talented child.
Yeah, he goes in two directions.
This is one of those moments where you're like, oh yeah, they don't tell you about this before you have kids.
That's right. They used to tell you about poopy diapers, not poopy bathrooms.
Right. Poopy bathrooms.
Poopy bathrooms. So speaking of Jackson.
Aren't we always?
Jackson has this... And Jackson's our 2-year-old, just to clarify. He has this throwing thing. He's a thrower recently, and he throws everything, whether it's a toy in your face or the or the other night we were having dinner, and we had rice on our plate, and I didn't catch it soon enough, but I see Jackson, he's just like picking up the rice, and I saw him pick it up, and I knew he was going to throw it. I'm like, Jackson, don't throw that, and he just looks at me, and he kind of turns away from me to get ready to throw it. I'm like, and I hurry and rush over there, and as I'm rushing over there, he knows that I'm going to get to him quick enough, so as I grab his like little chubby arm, he's like, drop, just drops it out of it. I'm like, come on!
Stick it to your daddy!
And then I look around the floor and I realize, oh, obviously that wasn't his first handful of rice that he's thrown because it's like everywhere.
Yeah. Well, it's funny is there's like a perfect little pile under his chair, but then like 5 feet away, there was another pile of rice it's under like, the window. I was like, wow, he's got a pretty good arm.
It's sprayed all over the place. But not only does he like to throw those things, but apparently he likes to throw things away too. So recently we're like, hey, where's this bowl? Where's our extra bowl? Where's our extra plate? Where's all of our silverware? And we've trained our kids to put their dishes in the sink when they're done. But we've gone through phases of where we used paperware because we were tired of
mommy quit.
Because we were tired of doing dishes. And so the mindset then was changed, put your plate and fork in the garbage. And I think Jackson hasn't, like, connected the two. Because already today, like, I found a cup and a bowl.
Did you really?
In the trash can. And so, like, our, you know, his How to Train Your Dragon cup and his Jell-O bowl.
Okay, but we had two plates, like, nice, hard plastic Target plates. Not like your Dollar Tree flimsy garbage.
Yeah, they were nice.
And we bought two for each kid.
I don't even know
kid.
Where any of them are.
Two for each kid, and they're all gone.
All of them. It's really weird.
He had to have thrown every single one of them away. And we had two little mini bowls for each kid for, like, Jell-O.
And it was all color coordinated.
Yeah.
And now we have, like, two of those.
Yeah, we have two. We're down from six.
And I think we have, like, three of
or
the...
Or eight. No, we had eight of everything.
I think we had three... No, we had six, because we got them before Jackson was born.
Right.
So, and we only have like two or three of the big bowls left and no of six plates. All the plates are gone.
Yeah, so he's chucking our stuff.
Because we don't realize it, you know, and they get buried in the garbage with stuff. And then we throw it away and then not until we need them the next day, we're like, where's this plate?
Right.
So he has a talent of throwing our stuff away.
We got four plates, cute plates recently. And one's already gone. I'm like, how are you doing this?
Yeah, I'm pretty
sure. You're a magician.
Pretty sure he threw one away already.
He is a trash magician.
So.
It's really frustrating. And that one night, do you remember that one night when he's like, I'm done?
Yeah.
And we watch him get up and he turns around and throws his bowl and, or I think it was his plate and his cup in the garbage. And we're like, no, it doesn't go in the trash. So you got up and took it out of the garbage can.
And he flipped
and chased you around and
he's like ah! But then I just gave it to him and he just wanted to put it in the sink, I think.
Well, no, didn't we fake putting it in the garbage first? I don't remember what we did.
No, I just gave it to him and I'm like, put it in the sink. He's like, okay.
Yeah. Dang.
Dang. Dang.
Yep, our little deep voice dopey little boy.
Aw. He's not dopey.
In a cute dopey way.
You're dopey for saying our kid's dopey.
In a cute dopey way?
Yes. Well, apparently you are the more attractive one.
That's right. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, Jackson throwing our stuff away.
Right.
Okay. Food.
I had a mom win this week.
Mom win.
I don't get to say that very often.
Yeah.
Grayson had an ear infection. Well, we thought it was an ear infection. So I had to take him to the doctor. And I have to read this story for my book club. So I had it on my phone and I'm sitting there reading my book on my phone at the doctor's office while we're waiting. And I just see Grayson, because it's like this little kiddie show on the TV. And so the babies are all totally interested in it. And he's just sitting there moping. And he gets up and he starts wandering around. I was like, sit down, Grayson. I don't know why. I mean, he could have wandered. But so he came back to his seat and it was all mopey. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm one of those moms that I hate. That's like
on your
ignoring
phone.
Their life because their phone's more important. granted, I wasn't like surfing Facebook. I was reading, but, and then so I set my phone down and I was like, come here, Grayson. Have you ever played the slap game? And so he'd never heard of it. So I taught him that game where you put both of your hands out and the other player puts their hands on top and you try to smack it. So I taught him that game and we were laughing so loud, like really loud. Luckily, there weren't that many people there because we were probably annoying.
Just because you're being a cute mom with her cute son playing a game.
But after we left and I just saw how happy he was and he just wanted to hug me after it was over and I was like, score! It's made me feel good that I'm just glad I caught that moment because I could have missed that. Could have missed slapping my kid.
Oh, yes.
But it was nice that I felt like I did something right, which is not always a feeling that I get to feel.
Yeah, well, speaking about slapping kids, so our kids lately have had a hard time going to bed, and when they don't go to bed, Daddy gets upset.
Not a hard time, like, super annoying.
Yeah, just always at our door.
Grating on my nerves. Usually they stay in their rooms, but they're trying to get in each other's rooms, and they're laughing and screaming.
So, one night, I had it, and I go out there, and I pick up our four-year-old.
Because she's, like, at our door knocking.
No, she was in the boys' room.
Oh, well, that must have been a different time.
And I pick her up, and I start taking her to, you know, her room, and, you know, she could see the stern, angry look on my face. And as I picked her up, and I'm taking her to her bed, she says, please don't slap me in the face. I'm like, why would I do that? And I'm like, I have never done that before. Like, I'm saying these words to her. I'm like, why would I do that? I've never slapped you in the face. And she's like, I'm hungry. And just totally changes the subject. Like, she's never talked about me just all of a sudden abusing her for some reason.
What's funny is you walk back in the room and you're like, I hope she never says that in public.
Oh, man. Imagine if we're all at Walmart or something. Don't slap me, Daddy.
In the face.
In the face.
I know. Well, and then we're sitting in bed and she's just screaming, I want pizza. Yeah. I want pizza. And I was like, what the heck are
like,
you doing?
Going from...
like, what is going on in your brain?
All sorts of ranges of emotions there, so...
It was funny. It was really funny. Except now I do have a fear, like, if she ever says that, we're going to be in so much trouble.
Isn't that every parent's fear, though? Like, their kids will say something like that in public, and then someone will be like, abuser! And then the mob will come out for you with pitchforks and torches.
No, my fear is just showing up on Facebook.
Oh, mom-shaming?
Mom-shaming, or, of course, getting social services called on me.
Yeah.
Because my kids don't wear shoes and... play outside alone.
What kids wear shoes?
Normal ones. So I actually posted this on my Facebook page, but I have to share it again because I think it's cool.
Okay.
The other day, the kids were outside playing, and I was sitting outside reading, because that's how I roll.
Right. That's funny, because rolling is part of the story.
Oh. You're like the king of spoilers.
Spoilers! What? They don't even know what I mean.
Anyway, so... we got a big yellow rubber ball for Christmas, and Jackson grabs the yellow ball and walks straight up to the sidewalk.
And thus his part of his throwing recently.
Oh, right. He goes right up to the
curb
and just chucks it straight out into the street. And I'm reading, so I miss it until I hear, ball. And I look, and this gust of wind picks up the ball. And just blows it down the street. Like, pretty far. A couple houses down the road. And so I'm like, Jackson! And he's already trying to run out in the street and get it. So I'm screaming at him, like, don't go out there! And then I start running down the sidewalk. And this car is coming up the way, and they see the ball rolling. And so they just stop and whip open their passenger or their driver's side door trying to stop it. And the ball hits the door, but then bounces off and keeps rolling down the road. And at that point, I check back to make sure Jack's not going in the street, and he is. So I run back and put him back on the sidewalk, and I'm like, no, stay there. And I turn around, and I can't see the ball anywhere. And I'm like, dang it, we just lost our brand new Christmas ball. But I see this car that had tried to stop the ball, and they flip around and start going the other way. And I watch as they get out of their car, as they've driven down a while, get out of their car and jump into someone's yard and catch our ball and then get back in the car and bring it back to us. And I seriously was watching this, almost getting tears in my eyes, and I was just thinking, there are good people in the world. They exist.
Of course they exist.
I know, but we always think that every stranger is, like, out to get us.
Now, when
the boogeyman.
Now, she says we as in a general we, not like,
right, right.
Not me and her, because I don't think that.
Right. I feel like we don't really trust strangers. And to see someone do, like, not only did they do something nice, but it was, they had to turn around completely out of their way. But they just rolled up, and it was like a dad and three children, and all of them were just smiling, and I was like, thank you so much.
You saved my ball.
You are good people. But no, I just was like, thank you, thank you, thank you. That I really appreciate it. And it was just cool. It was cool.
It is cool.
Thank you.
Thank you, nice ball-saving person.
Right. Now we need to pay it forward somehow.
Oh, we will.
But I probably won't go chasing down
It's called this Saturday.
Oh.
We're going to be doing a big, huge babysitting thing on Saturday, so we're paying it forward.
Right.
For all sorts of people.
For free.
For free.
We're up to about 16 kids now, counting our own.
Yes, counting our own. So
bring it on.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, actually, we're paying it forward. Those have been added, so we got three more today, I think.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
So we're helping out for some church thing. So anyway, speaking of church things.
Church things.
This past weekend, two friends and I had to go to, I talk about Lubbock all the time, but.
Leadership seminar.
Yeah, go
training.
To a leadership thing for our church. And so we had to drive to a town or a city, the big city, that's 2 hours away.
To us, yeah.
And all three of us are moms with lots of kids. And so none of us had our kids except for our little baby. And so I'm seriously so excited for this all week. And I'm thinking, we're going to go to the mall and we're going to do this and this, you know, just so excited. And so we go, we do our training meeting, and then we go to Sam's Club and to Costco. And after that, all of us are like, oh, let's just go home.
I'm burnt out already.
I know, we're all like exhausted. I'm like, what have we succumbed to? Like, we're Costco shoppers, and that's it?
That's what it is when you're a mom, right?
But no, the conversation there and back was amazing. And the training was awesome. And the shopping was fun. I just thought it was so funny that deep down inside, I was like, let's go shopping at the mall for hours and no, what was exciting about our trip was the free samples they get at the store.
Except that you didn't get any.
I didn't get any, but they got to. I got to enjoy watching them eat the yummy stuff. I'm calorie counting.
So she didn't eat any samples to save on calories.
I know, and they were giving out chicken wings.
I know.
That's not even a sample. That's like,
I would have succumbed to chicken wing.
I know, you would have.
But I'm proud of you for being strong.
Thanks.
So, but yeah. So that was our week. And unless you have, do you have anything else?
Oh, the last thing I had was the obnoxiousness of our kids just telling us after we've been in the zone for what, since May or no, August, that our kids decided suddenly that they don't like hot lunch and they want us to pack their lunches every day.
Oh, yeah.
So
we'll see how that goes.
What's frustrating, though, is that we pay for our kids' lunches, and our daughter is, like, the slowest person in the world when it comes to eating. It's like watching a sloth eat, isn't it?
It really is.
We are food snarfers, and we're done, like...
I finish a full plate of food in, like, five minutes, tops.
2 minutes at the least. But
that's what happens when you're the youngest of six kids. You learn to eat your food fast.
Or it's like when we go on a date to a restaurant, I'm thinking we're going to sit there for an hour and just chat. And our food comes and we're like, don't talk to me. It's gone like 2 minutes. I'm like, this is our date that we've been so excited for.
Well, let's go home.
I know. But anyway, watching her is like,
aggravating.
And we always, my thing is, I always want our kids to feel like I'm involved in their life. So I've always made the goal to stay seated at the table until everyone's done eating. And so with her, I'm always like, come on, I want to do something. And so she finally let us know that she doesn't finish her lunch at school.
Yeah.
That she barely finishes the main course and doesn't get to eat anything else. And then they force her to go outside because the cafeteria time is over. So I was like, that's messed up.
Yeah.
Like, I paid for that food. And so it's good that we're packing lunches because she'll actually...
Because we do smaller portions.
Well, just she won't have to wait in line.
Yeah, that
so
too.
So maybe she'll get to eat two things now instead of one.
That's right.
But anyway, that was kind of frustrating. Although I shouldn't be complaining because you have seemed to be the one that's been packing the lunches.
It's true. I've done it every single morning.
Because I like to stay in bed. Because all the kids, or no, our oldest comes in and snuggles with me and we just chat. So you get to do the dirty work and I get the fun work.
That's right. That's okay. I think I'd rather make lunches.
Than snuggle with our children. Way to record that for them to listen to 20 years from now.
Hey, I'm not a snuggler. When I'm in bed and I want to relax, I want my space.
No, one kid in bed is nice. Four kids in bed is torture.
Like today's, and that was rough.
Right, and they're all trying to stuff their elbows into my kidneys.
Yeah. So, yeah. I was going to go somewhere with that, but I decided that my brain decided to go bleh.
I thought you were going into the article.
Let's do it. So we have an article that we picked out, and we mentioned that it was a little bit, it was hard for us to find something, but we found something that finally piqued our interest, and we found that would be fun to share with everybody. It's the 5 worries parents should drop and the 5 they shouldn't.
I love the opening thing.
So read it. Go for it.
It goes, shoop, shoop, shoop. Hear that? That's the sound of helicopter parenting. Parents hovering over their children, worrying every second of the day that terrorists could strike Johnny's school or a stranger will snatch Jane from the bus stop.
So the article talks about the, you know, gives you the 5 things you shouldn't worry about because they don't ever happen. Like,
well, they do.
They do, but like it's so rare that the odds are definitely in your favor.
But what's interesting is that this is a survey.
Yes, a survey of the parents saying what their top worries are for their kids.
Right, and it's written by someone that wrote the Paranoid Parents Guide. So an author did this study, but the top 5 worries of parents in order.
In order. So number 1 is kidnapping.
Number 2, school snipers.
Number 3, terrorists.
Number 4, dangerous strangers.
Number 5, drugs. See, that one's practical. But the other ones, I've never worried about, like, if I had to pick one of those 5 things that I was actually worried about, it would probably be dangerous strangers. But we try to teach our kids not to be afraid of strangers in general, because what if our kids are lost? What if they need help? We don't want them to be all paranoid to talk to a stranger because they need help. So we've taught them, like, if you're lost and you need to talk to someone, then go talk, find a mom with parents or find someone in uniform or something like right. that. So
now, you say you never feel like this, but I do. Not like...
I've never ever worried about our kids being kidnapped or being shot by a school sniper or just a school shooting in general.
Okay, well, here's the thing. So I had to go over this parent safety guide for Cub Scouts. It comes in the Cub Scout manual about watching out for, like, predators of children.
Yeah.
And so that's already on my mind. And we get to Walmart, and as soon as we pull up to the store, and this is one of the rare times that I had to take all 4 children with me to the store. And as we're unpacking, Lacey goes, I have to go potty. And Grayson goes, don't worry, I'll take her. And so they all run off to the bathroom. And part of me, most of it, I was like, I'm going to get judged for this one. Like, see, you know, because the kids are running by everyone. And then Grayson gets out of the bathroom and he goes, you know, I'm really shy. And I was like, why did you say that?
Yeah, why'd you
like,
say that?
Like, right after he comes out of the bathroom. And he said, he's like, well, I just don't like talking to people. I don't like getting to know people. And I was like, was someone trying to talk to you? And he said, yeah, some man in there was talking to me and I just didn't like it. So then I was like, did he touch you? And he's like, no, why? And I was like, you know, worst case scenario popping through my head, like creepy stranger at Walmart.
It's probably just an old man to be like, hello, little boy, what are you doing today?
And, want some candy?
And so he's probably like, Grayson was probably like, oh, weird old man. Not like, Oh, weird pedophile.
I know, but hearing him say, I didn't like talking to him. I was like, follow your heart. Don't talk to him. But I'm just saying, I have to say, those things do pop into my head sometimes. But I'm not like, we're going to get bombed and die. My child.
Yeah, so that's why I said if I had to pick something, I'd pick Dangerous Strangers.
But I do, like, there's a park right around the corner from our house, and I think I can never send my kids over there.
Never? So,
not yet. I think maybe when he's,
when
like,
they're a little
10.
Older. When they're a little older.
So, I don't know. It's kind of, I'm probably on this list, but so, I would never write those as my top five worries.
Yeah, me either. So, but then they go on to talk about the five things that actually do hurt or kill your children, so the things that you really do need to worry about.
Right.
And they said, number one, car accidents.
Number two, homicide.
Yeah.
That's all you have to worry about, guys.
Yeah. Three, abuse.
Well, okay, the homicide does have a disclaimer that says, usually homicide committed by a person who knows the child,
not
a stranger.
A stranger. Yeah, so like a relative.
Right.
Or a family friend or something.
Did you say number three?
Yeah, abuse.
Okay, I was talking over you. Number four is suicide.
And five, drowning.
We just can't say these ones in silly voices.
Drowning.
Because they're sad.
They are sad. But then the article goes on to talk about how, you know, parents stress way too much about their kids being hurt and dying and all these things. And
because of the news.
Because of the news. And they said that, you know, they said in their opinion, if the news would just give us statistics about it, like, you know, this very tragic thing happened, but it only happens in 1 in 10 million or 1 in a million or even 1 out of 20, at least.
You know, you say that, but look at how many people bought the Powerball. Because they still had a chance.
They're 1 out of, like, so much that you had better chances of being struck by lightning than winning the Powerball.
So I'm just saying, even if you see the statistics, there's still a chance.
There's
good or bad.
It's true. But the person goes on to talk about how that their advice to everyone, their simple prescription for their kids is helmets and seatbelts. Yep, that's right. Helmets and seatbelts. I know it sounds boring, but according to research, making kids wear protective gear and buckle up in the car cuts kids' chances of death by 90% and their chances of serious injury by 78%.
That's huge.
That's huge. That's a huge percentage. Just wearing your seatbelt cuts their chances of dying by 90%.
So the other 10% is terrorists and snipers. Was it snipers or school snipers.
Terrorists and kidnapping. But no, but and then, you know, helmets will save their kids from serious injury, I can't talk, by 78%.
Right.
So that's amazing statistics in that. And so there you go.
I did have a moment the other day where we...
Although, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I've never wore a helmet growing up as a kid.
Right, neither did I.
So,
but now I'm going to
make
my kids wear helmets and seatbelts.
Helmets and seatbelts. Sorry.
Terrorists and snipers. No, I was driving. Oh, I had to drop something off at my parents' house who live across town. And while I was inside, I just left the kids in the car. Not worried about kidnappers or anything. That's not what my story's about. But anyway, I get back in the car and I'm pulling out of their driveway and my baby, he's going, Mommy, help.
Help.
Help. And I was like, oh, you're fine. You know, just whatever. And I'm driving and he keeps going, Mommy, help. And then finally I pull onto like the stretch where you drive really fast and he goes, Mommy, help, help. And just kind of starts losing it. And finally I look back and he had unbuckled his car seat. Like not the actual buckle part, but the chest strap that buckles together. And he's crying. And it was like he was terrified. And it made me proud. Like, he knows seatbelts are safe. And so I pulled over and I was like, Grayson, help your brother.
But you could have looked the first time when a child asked you for help.
My kids ask for my attention all the time.
I know.
I'm an expert ignorer. It's like that one time that Grayson said he was hurting.
Hurting. He had a bloody nose.
And I didn't look and his face was all bloody. But anyway, so I'm just saying, seatbelts and helmets.
That's right. Increases your chances of safety
by 90%.
That's right.
And 78%.
So that's it. So Thank you for listening to The Clown Car. Parenting is hard, and we believe you should get a gold star just for trying.
Just remember, our way is not the only way. Find what works for you. You are doing a good job.
You can follow us and share your thoughts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or email us at theclowncarshow@gmail.com. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review our show on iTunes. And until next time, enjoy your circus. You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.